We're at the Pork Industry Day in West Point, Nebraska, the Nebraska Pork Producers Association's annual meeting. And we're going to visit with Chris Novak, who is the CEO of the National Pork Board, the checkoff board for the pork industry. Well, you addressed the group here today, and you talked about, first of all, you know, the work that you've done with companies who have made pronouncements about gestation stall-free pork. Give us an update on what's happening in that area.
What we have seen in the course of the last year is that companies have made announcements about pork production practices. And as we've talked to many of those companies, as we've asked, you know, if they have looked at the implications for animals, if they understood the implications for animals, if they understood what the cost implications were or the environmental sustainability implications of their decisions, many of those companies have indicated that they have not looked at those things. And to the extent that you have an activist organization that's talking about consumer beliefs and attitudes on housing, and that should be the key driver for the types of things that we do on our farms and the way that we raise our animals. Unfortunately, we also know that a lot of consumers don't understand modern pork production and don't have a connection to the farm. When we've had an opportunity to tell our story to consumers, to open up the barn doors and show consumers why we're doing, there are trade-offs between different types of production practices, different systems that we use today. And we've recognized that we need to find a better way to explain that, to share that story with food companies that are making decisions that are affecting farmers.
So they've made these announcements and they've set these deadlines. Chances are they're not going to back off on this now at this point?
I think, as we look at the free market system and companies that have made these announcements, what they're asking of farmers is to make a significant investment in changing the way that they produce pork today. And to some extent, if a farmer can afford to make those adjustments to serve their customers, they certainly will. At the same time, many farmers may have to go to the bank and borrow money to put in, to build a new system or to retrofit the barns and the way that they raise pigs today. If they can't get those loans, if they don't have the access to capital, or if they borrow money and yet have high feed costs like we have today, those producers' livelihood, their involvement in the pork industry is threatened. And so the potential that we see is that we may see more producers who leave the industry. It's already happening in Europe, as there's legislation in Europe that mandates a change in housing systems. There's many producers who are not compliant with the law that the European Union has imposed, and we're also seeing more producers who are leaving the industry. We don't view that as a good thing. We view the opportunity for a producer to work with their veterinarian, ensure that they have the best system in place to provide care for the individual animal, and whether that animal's housed in a maternity pen or a stall, whether that animal's roaming free outdoors. A lot of folks think roaming free outdoors is great, but when you grew up in Iowa, or if you grew up in central Nebraska in the wintertime and you got 20 inches of snow and below zero temperatures, that outdoor production isn't necessarily the best welfare for the animal. And those are the types of trade-offs that we know that we need to talk to consumers about, as well as to our food chain partners.
The other side talks about how consumers are demanding these changes, but as you indicated, most consumers really don't understand the production system. Have you talked to consumers? Do you get a feeling of what they think about all this?
I think as we've visited with consumers, and yes, we've done a great deal of research, and certainly, one thing that we do understand is consumers know very little about housing practices on the farm, about modern pork production. If we're going to talk to consumers about the difference between a gilt, a sow, and a barrow, we might as well be speaking a foreign language, and that's very clear from all of our conversations with consumers. We also know that if you ask consumers a simple question about whether or not an animal should be able to turn around, they'll give a very emotional response. One of the things that the activists have been successful in doing is connecting pets with farm animals. And yet, you know, we need consumers to understand that there is a difference between the two, and we can't produce animals that end up on the dinner table and treat them in the same way that you know, someone might treat their pets. So that's a part of the challenge of what we need to communicate to consumers. We do know as well, as from talking to consumers and from doing research, that if we have that opportunity to explain, if we say, here is the trade-off, we were in loose housing systems, but yet these are aggressive animals. They're aggressive 400 to 600-pound animals, and they can attack and injure workers. They can attack and injure each other. And so we've moved them into maternity pens as a means of trying to help protect them and keep them free from aggression. That's a trade-off. They can't turn around, but as we explain that to consumers, the light bulb does go on, and many consumers do understand that. And yet, if you're simply going to rely upon consumer polling to dictate animal production practices, then the unfortunate reality is we're not going to be making decisions based upon a veterinarian's care and recommendation. We're not going to be making farm decisions based upon animal scientists' recommendations and other research coming from our land-grant systems. We're simply going to be making decisions based upon an emotional appeal and an emotional reaction from folks who may not necessarily understand a lot about what it takes to raise food today.